if you'll bear with me, I have very little voice, it seems like. I hated I wasn't much able to participate in the singing service, but do pray that God would bless us with the right message at the right time. I'm really struggling as to know what to speak tonight. Let us attempt to preach a message that I would entitle Exclusivity in Christ, Yet Not in Christianity. That's a very dangerous title. I will attempt to walk a tightrope, do a balancing act. I don't want to take anything away from Christianity. But more than that, I don't want to take anything away from Christ.
Right. Amen.
Exclusivity, it's a fancy word. Christ, exclusively, only, completely, solely, and wholly, wholly, our Savior.
Amen.
Excluding all other so-called gods and all other so-called help. Mm-hmm. An exclusivity in Christ that's so exclusive that Christianity is not necessary for eternal salvation.
Amen.
Again, I say that tongue in cheek with reservations. It's dangerous to say something like that. I don't want to be misunderstood. As our text, we go to John 14. Let's read verses 5 and 6. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Pay attention to Thomas's question. I think it's important. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No other way.
That's right.
I am the way, said Jesus. No man gets there any other way.
Amen.
No man will ever come to the Father any other way. Peter in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is none other name given unto men under heaven whereby you must be saved. No other name. No other man. No other way. Jesus exclusively, alone, nothing else included, nobody else can do it, Savior.
Right.
There's nobody that'll ever go to heaven by the name Muhammad.
Amen.
There's nobody that'll ever be in heaven by the name Buddha. There's nobody that'll ever be in heaven by a totem pole or a sacred cow. But I want to tell you what I believe right up front. I believe there'll be people who have in this world believed in those things
yes.
that will end up in heaven.
Right.
But the way they'll end up in heaven is the same way that Paul the Apostle ends up in heaven.
Amen.
By Jesus Christ.
Right.
There's no
Amen.
Other way.
Right.
There's no other name. Everybody that gets there through Jesus Christ, and He's the only way to get to heaven. And He doesn't even need Christianity to do it.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Not to say Christianity is not important. Not to say it's just as good to be a Muslim as a Christian. God forbid. But I'd say it's all right to be a Hindu or just whatever you want to be. Be a Christian. Be a strong Christian. Be a worshiping Christian.
Right.
But that's not what gets you to heaven.
That's right.
Christ exclusively gets you to heaven. What got me to thinking about this a few days ago, a good friend, a friend I admire, a friend I think a lot of, a friend who's a Christian, a friend who's devout in what he believes, wants me to listen to a series of sermons. 10 sermons in a little box set, real nice, put together. Beautiful little cover on it. Real classy looking. It's sermons about Christ being the exclusive and the only way to get to heaven. That sounds good. I started listening. It didn't take long to figure out that the man wasn't going along with this title. There was only one way to get to heaven, yet he didn't seem to stick with that. He kept on with something else beyond Jesus being the way, the sole way, the whole way.
Right.
Whether you add Muhammad as a possibility or something else as a necessity, you've taken the exclusivity of Christ away from him.
Yes.
If we add anything to Christ, we take glory away from him.
Sure. Amen.
He didn't need anything, and if we say he did, then we're making him less than what he is.
Right.
And that's not what we're supposed to do. He that glories, let him glory in the Lord.
Right.
Let's go back to our question. Remember I said take notice of the question. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? I don't believe Thomas knew the way. At least the way he said he didn't. Lord, I don't know the way. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way. At that point, I can assume that Thomas knew the way. Because the Lord told him, I am the way. So now he knows what he didn't know. Can we assume that? Does that make sense from the conversation? So I want to ask you a question. At that point, after verse 6, after verse 5, Thomas didn't know the way. He said he didn't. After verse 6, Thomas knows the way. Jesus told him. Is that when Thomas got to go to heaven? When he knew the way? Or was he going already? I believe he was. In John chapter 11, Thomas is the one that speaks up and said, Lord, I guess we'll go with you and die with you. He thought, sure, if they went back anywhere around Jerusalem, they was going to all get killed. But he was willing to go. And willing in his own mind to die. What do you think about a man that thinks like that? You reckon he's a child of God in chapter 11? You reckon he was going to heaven in chapter 11? Was it heaven in 11 or was it heaven in 14? When did he punch his ticket? Well, I just want to tell you that Thomas didn't punch his ticket any time.
That's right.
He didn't earn his way to heaven in 11 when he said, I'll die with you. And he didn't finally get his ticket punched to go to heaven when he knew the way.
Right.
I want to tell you, you can get there without knowing the way.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something else. Knowing the way is not the way.
Amen.
Jesus is the way.
Right. Amen.
But so oftentimes, in the culture in which we live, it seems that it's not Jesus that's the way, it's knowing Jesus is the way, is the way.
Yeah.
You got to know he's the way before you're going to get there. He's not the way unless you know it. He's not the way unless you believe it.
Mm.
He's not the way unless you do this or that or something else and whatever they might add. I want to tell you, Jesus is the way whether you know it or not.
Amen.
Jesus is the way whether you believe it or not.
Right.
What you believe in 2016 has nothing to do that can has nothing that can change what happened 2,000 years ago.
Right.
What Jesus did, Jesus did. What God saw Jesus do, God saw Him do it. And God knows He did it, whether you know it or not. Whether you believe it or not, whether I believe it or not, doesn't make a bit of difference about what Jesus did. What Jesus accomplished is accomplished, whether anybody knows it or not. What if we don't believe, Paul said? Right. Shall our unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
That's right.
Can me not believing what's real make it unreal?
Nope.
If I don't know the truth, does that make the truth not truth anymore?
No.
If Jesus died for all of His children, if Jesus took the sins away from all of His children, if Jesus gave all of His children His righteousness, if God looks down upon that scene after Jesus said it is finished and God said, I'm satisfied with it, and with being satisfied, God justifies, that is, declares righteous and innocent all that Jesus died for, what's going to keep them out?
Right.
Me not knowing that, is that going to change the justification?
No.
Does that change heaven's courtroom, what I don't know?
No.
God forbid. What if some don't believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? What if we believe not, Paul tells Timothy? God remains faithful.
Amen.
He can't deny Himself.
Yes,
he won't deny what Jesus did. Jesus did what He did, and God knows it, whether I know it or not, whether Thomas knew it or not. Now, when Thomas and I come to where we know it, we're better off.
Right.
Don't get me wrong that way. Knowing it's a good thing. Thomas was better off after 6 than after 5 in those verses there. Do you agree
right.
with that?
Yeah.
When he was in a quandary, Lord, I don't know where you're going, and I sure don't know how to get there. He was in a mess there, wasn't he? Now, he wasn't in a mess whether he's going to go or not, but he was in a mess whether he knew he was going to go or not. Is it important to know you're going to go?
Right.
Why, sure it is.
Yeah.
It makes you feel a lot better if you know you're going to go. But if I'm part of going in, I'm never going to be for sure about whether I'm going to go or not. I've counseled with people who have come to me with a problem. And they came down the aisle, maybe under duress. I don't know if it was under faith or under fear. I don't know at what point in singing the song it happened. But on and on, it goes and goes. And the pressure of the situation and the emotion of the moment. And finally they say they went down the aisle at some time, maybe when they were a kid, but they've never been sure if it was real.
Wow.
And then along comes some guy in a revival, and he says to them, you know, you better be sure it was real. Because if it wasn't real, that's not good enough. And you better make it real if it's not been real. So they come down in that revival and they do it again. And they go home again and they get to thinking, well, was it just the emotion of the moment? Did that guy just scare me to death, or did something really happen inside? And they're never sure and they never know. Because they think they're part of it. They think they got to believe, but then how much is enough belief? How much faith is good enough, Lord? Has my faith been faith enough? When those the followers of Jesus Christ, the ones that were closest to Him, and He said to them one time, O ye of little faith, and He said to them another time, O ye of no faith, if they'd have kicked the bucket when they had no faith, would they have just lost their ticket? It doesn't matter what you believe as far as whether you get there or not, but it matters what you believe and what you know while you're right here, does it not?
Amen. Right. Amen.
I want to tell you, when Thomas found it out, and when you find it out, when I find it out, we're a whole lot better off if we know Jesus is the way. But as long as we know Jesus is the way, that's when we're better off.
Right.
That's the only real peace. What's the preacher's job? To guide our feet to the way of peace. Not to give life, but to give enlightenment. The gospel doesn't get you to heaven. The gospel tells you you're going to heaven. And that's a pretty good thing to know, is it not?
Amen.
When you're a struggling child of God in this world, when you're a sinner, wondering if you've been good enough and knowing you hadn't. That's what we know about it. We hadn't been good enough.
Right.
But we know when we know Jesus was good enough.
Amen.
And God's satisfied with Jesus,
right.
That's good enough for me too, if it's good enough for God.
Yeah.
And when I come to know that, I'm a whole lot better off. Excuse me. Thomas was better off. Being a Christian's better off. The more truth you know, the more better off you are.
Amen.
The truth will make you free. Any error that's interjected into the truth will bring you into bondage. The more truth you know, and we don't know it all now. We think we got a real grasp on truth. There's a lot of it we don't know yet. But the more we can know, the better we'll be. And the more peace we'll have. And the more assurance we'll have. And the more comfort we'll have.
Right.
And the more we'll be free.
Amen. Amen.
Ah, it is important to know it. Now, don't get me wrong. That's why I say we're walking a tightrope. The only way you're going to ever have a chance to know it is being part of Christianity. If you grow up in a house where, where they're worshiping a cow, you're not going to get a lot of comfort out of that, I got a feeling. But maybe you do, I don't know. But I got a feeling it doesn't stack up like knowing Jesus, does it?
Amen.
I guess Bessie's okay if you got cows. You may even talk to Bessie when you go out there and milk her in the morning. And she doesn't talk back, though, does she? Or maybe she does. I don't know. Mr. Ed, the horse talked back on TV. But I think that was TV.
Fake.
Bessie is fine, but Bessie's a cow. And we can't make gods out of cows.
Right.
Although we tend to do that in our ignorance and in our rebellion as human beings. And even the Israelites, they made golden cows and thought that was God. The Bible talks about the futility and the emptiness and the nothingness of taking a stalk of a tree, in Isaiah it says. And
right.
From that stalk of the tree, you take a choice portion and you carve you out a god. You take another chunk of it and you cook your supper and you take another chunk of it and you heat your house. And then you bow down to that chunk you left and carved out and think you've got something there, don't you? And it talks about the ignorance of man to do such a thing as that. It doesn't even make good sense to pray to a god who has no ears and to talk to a god who can't hear you and to beg of a god that can't do anything about it.
Right.
And he doesn't have any eyes and he doesn't have any ears and he doesn't have any hands. You may carve him out some hands, but they can't do anything, can they?
Right.
If you want to take him somewhere, you got to tote him somewhere. And my God's everywhere already.
That's right.
It's mighty fine to have a god that's everywhere already and not have to tote him around with you, isn't it?
Mm.
My goodness. Whether it's something you carve out or whether it's Bessie the cow, I kind of like the God of this Bible.
Amen.
I kind of like Jesus being the way. That gives me a lot of comfort, a lot of peace, a lot of help.
Amen.
I want to tell you, I believe Jesus has got people to heaven. Now, we know if they got there, it's Jesus, don't we? Have we got that far so far?
Amen.
We know He's the only way, don't we?
Amen.
The Bible says so, and we believe that. I believe there's lots of people already up there who probably never knew His name until they got there, I reckon. How about the first? How about one of the first ones, I guess, that went there? And his name was Enoch, way back there in the Old Testament. He didn't even have to die to get there. That's a pretty special way to go, seems to me. Like,
yeah.
God just took him right on. He's walking with God down here, and God just took him right on up yonder.
Right.
And he's up there with God, I believe, still, and forever will be.
Right.
You reckon Enoch knew the name of Jesus? My Bible tells me the prophets in the Old Testament weren't even sure what they were talking about, that most of what they wrote down is for our benefit today.
Right.
Enoch's there, though, isn't he? God took him up there.
Amen.
How'd God take him up there? Name of Jesus, isn't that? Isn't that what we've learned so far?
Right.
That's Jesus, the only way to get there. So Jesus got Enoch there. Is that sound, Bob?
Yep.
Okay, does that go along with the Bible? We know from the Bible Enoch's up there, and we know from the Bible Jesus is the only way to get there. So I reckon Jesus got him there. Does that sound good?
Amen.
I'll buy that.
Me too.
Was Enoch a Christian? I don't think there was any such thing as Christianity back then. Although the series of messages that I was given says the only way you can get there is to know Jesus. Now, I think Enoch knows Him now. No doubt about that in my mind. How about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?
Right.
I'm trying to pick out the ones I know is up there. And how do I know they're up there? Because Jesus said they were.
Yeah.
Remember the New Testament? We're going to go hundreds of years ahead of time. They've been up there a long time. But here's the Sadducees in Jesus' day, and they say there's no such thing as that. There's no such thing as heaven or angels or spirits or anything like that. There's no such thing as a resurrection. Jesus said, well, there sure is such thing as a resurrection. I can tell you who's up there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are up there. And they're living with the God of the living. That's where they are. God told Moses that they were up there and that they were living in heaven. And Jesus said, there you go. So they're in heaven. So now there's our proof. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's in heaven. Jesus said so. How'd they get there? Well, they were Jews. And all the Old Testament Jews got there. That's what some folks will tell you now. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just being a little sarcastic when I say that. I'm saying that's what some folks will say, is that the Old Testament Jews got there because they were God's chosen people in that age in which they lived. And that's how they got there. That's not how anybody gets there being a Jew, is it? The only way to get there is who? Who's His name?
Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the only. He's the only name now, isn't He? And He's the only way, isn't He?
That's right.
And there's no other way, isn't it? So they're up there, but they're up there how? Same way Enoch got up there. By the way, Enoch wasn't a Jew. He came before the Jews.
Right.
So being a Jew is not... Well, I'll tell you a couple more we know is up there. How about Moses and Elijah? Well, how do you know they're up there? Well, I'm pretty sure up there, because they came down from up there on the Mount of Transfiguration again in Jesus' day. It said they came in glory. What glory did they come in? Heaven's glory. That's where they came from. And they came in glory, and they came in heaven's glory. And where did they come from? They came from heaven. Well, how did they get there? All right, maybe that's where they came from, but how did they get there? Well, that was Moses and Elijah. Well, they got there because they had Moses and Elijah. I want to tell you, my Bible tells me Elijah was a man of like passions to me.
Right.
He had kind of had ideas that his head shouldn't have been there, is the way I take that. And things in him that wasn't. Elijah was a sinner, and Moses was a sinner. He didn't get to go in the promised land, bless his heart, because he offended God by sinning against God. And it seems like to me a small infraction, but it wasn't to God. Right. And Moses begged if he could go on in. God said, I'll let you look at it, but I don't want to hear that prayer anymore. But then God let him in. God buried his body and God took him on out up there. And those two came back to see Jesus. How'd they get there? Jesus.
Christ.
Only name, only way. So we've got Enoch and we've got Moses and Elijah and we've got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I bet we got some others up there. I'm not hardly so sure let's think about David's baby. You remember the baby I'm talking about? The one that David sinned. And because of that sin, the baby would die that was a result of that sin. And God told David that. And David lay down and prayed and wouldn't eat, wouldn't get up, begged and prayed and fasted and pleaded with God, and the baby died. And David got up and they couldn't figure out why he was so sad. And now he didn't seem like he was hardly in as bad a mood. He got up and cleaned up and ate something. And they said, what in the world's going wrong with you, King? While the child was living, you was acting a basket case. That's how King James. But you know, you sorrow not like others that have no hope. That's not where that appeared in the King James either. But that's sort of what happened there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they said, how come you're in a little better mood now than you were a few minutes ago when you didn't know he was dead? He said, well, I'll tell you like this. Says, he can't come to me, but I can go to him.
That's right.
Now, that's David's idea. I know that's not Jesus saying that baby's up there. Where do you think that baby is? I think we can take a vote here and everybody's going to think that baby's in heaven just like David said.
That's right.
Well, how'd that baby get to heaven? That just opens up another big old door right there, doesn't it?
Yep.
How'd that baby get to heaven? Well, here's the two exceptions that the man who listened to the series has. He says, I'll tell you who doesn't have to believe. The only two exceptions there are, anybody be in heaven without knowing Jesus is the way. The only two exceptions are babies and those that aren't smart enough to ever to figure that out in their minds. The mentally challenged, the mentally handicapped, and whatever the politically correct term is to use for people that just don't understand enough to understand something like that. He said, I'm not going to preach them in hell. And of course, babies aren't in hell. God makes an exception there.
Wow.
Why do you need an exception if you got the perfect route already?
Amen.
I reckon if Jesus can get a hardened sinner up there like me, he can take a baby up, can't he?
Right. Oh, yeah.
But I want to tell you, a baby doesn't go on its innocence.
Right.
I'm not saying a baby's already committed murder or already committed sin, period. Although you might could make a little case for that in the Bible. Yeah. But I'll just tell you why the baby's going. Because he inherits Adam's nature.
Yeah.
That little child is born into this world with the nature of his earthly father, Adam, and he brought death upon all men. Babies, grown-ups, old folks, young folks, we all are born into this world with a death penalty because we have the inherited sin of Adam that Jesus has to pay for on that cross, or you don't get there. And the only way a baby gets there is the way you and me get there. We don't need a separate plan. We don't need any exceptions to the plan.
Right.
Jesus is good enough, isn't he?
Yes,
he's the sole way. He's the whole way. If he can get that thief on the cross up there, I reckon a baby's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
But it takes the same blood and the same death. So in a way, that was a derogatory statement to Jesus. If that baby ever gets there, it's because Jesus died for him or her. I've got a little baby her that I believe's up there, and I'm going to see her one day. But it's going to take Jesus getting her there and getting me there before we ever meet up again. Well, I believe that baby's up there, and I kind of believe David's up there because it said he's a man after God's own heart. And I believe that's the kind of folks that get up there. Well, how'd you get God's own heart in you? He gave you that, didn't he?
That's right.
So he's the way for that, isn't he? Just as much as Jesus is the way to heaven, the only way you're ever going to have God's own heart in your heart is to have God in your heart. And that's when God moves in. When the wind blows where it pleases.
Yes.
When the Spirit moves
that's
when it suits Him. He does it this way every time, any place, all the time. only way is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. Right. It's when the Spirit does it, when the Spirit sets His mind to do it, according to God's eternal plan. That Spirit will find everybody Jesus died for, and Jesus dies for everybody God gave to Him, and every one of those are getting in. What's the way to do that? Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Speaking of that way, Jesus saying He's the way, and you've said, preacher, well, now you're saying the Spirit's the way. Well, the Spirit and Jesus are one. Let me show you. Here's the way it's talked about in another place, how that getting born again gets done. Now in John chapter 3 verse 8, it talks about Jesus doing it, or the Spirit doing it. The wind blows where He pleases, and so it is with everyone that's born of the Spirit. But in John 5 and 25, it talks about Jesus doing it. In John 5 and 25, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is." It's something was going on in Jesus' day, and it's still going on. It was coming then, it's still going. And it's going to keep going until the last one gets called. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead. That's not the dead in the grave. That happens three verses later in John 5 and 28. When you marvel not, those in the grave, they're going to get up too. But in John 5 and 25, we're not talking about naturally dead. We're talking about spiritually dead. We're talking about those dead in trespasses and sins. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Whose voice? The preacher's voice? No. The gospel voice? No. The voice of the Son of God. Who's the way? The preacher? The gospel? The Son of God? I believe the Son of God's voice is all it takes. You ready? And that's the same thing as being born again. That effectual call that comes through the voice of Jesus. It's likewise the same thing. I'm getting off track here a little bit. But it's the same thing that the Father gets credit for in John 6 and 44. When He says, "No man," Jesus said, "No man can come to Me except the Father which has sent Me draw him."
Right.
That's the new birth there too, my friends. Different terms, so we'll get it. In one place, the Father gets the credit. In one place, the Spirit gets the credit. In one place, Jesus gets the credit. They're not in competition. They don't care.
No.
They don't care who gets the credit.
Because
they're unified in salvation.
Yeah, they're one.
They're all together. They're one.
Amen.
They're not trying to compete, see who can get to you first. When you go, it's because the Spirit got to you, and the Jesus got to you, and the Father got to you all at the same time. They just kind of get you, and that's God. But it's Jesus that's the way. Jesus is the way. No other way, no other help needed. Don't need a preacher. Don't need your mama. That's good to have a preacher, and it's good to have your mama.
Right.
Don't get me wrong there, too. But that comes in, that's where you come to know the way. It's good for a mama to tell her babies the way.
Yes.
To let them grow up hearing the word of the Lord. As with Timothy's mother and grandmother. From the time he's a child, he knew the Scriptures. How do you know them? Because his faithful mother and grandmother taught those things to him.
Right.
And that's important.
That's right.
But that's not what gets you to heaven. That's what gets you to know you're going to heaven if you're being taught right. If you're teaching somebody, that's what's going to get them to heaven. You're not teaching them right. And you're taking away a little peace from them. Some other places that don't give all the credit to Jesus, they have peace, peace, but there is no peace. Because you never know for sure if you did your part right, remember? You never know for sure when you're laying there at night whether you're going to get there if it's left up to you to get there. Excuse me. How can I know the way? You can know the way by the preacher. And the way is Jesus if the preacher's telling you straight.
Right.
Jesus is the way. Amen. And there's no other way. So how do you reckon David and that baby's met up yet?
Yeah.
I got a feeling that happened a lot. Isn't that glorious? It's not glorious to lose a child. But it's glorious to see that child after waiting a few more years.
Yeah.
David got there. How? Jesus. The baby got there. How? Jesus. My Bible tells me, I'm going to try to get back on track here and talk about who's in heaven a little more. Who's up there? Now remember how they get there. How many ways are there?
One.
What's his name?
Jesus.
That's right. So everybody's up there, got there the same way, didn't they? Who do we know is up there? Well, lots of times in the New Testament, especially in the book of Revelation, we're going to find a vast host gathered around the throne of God. Where Jesus is on that throne, the Father's on that throne, the Lamb of God is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and He's reigning up there, and they're singing songs to Him, and won't that be wonderful? Won't it be a good time? They're up there in heaven, and they're singing to Jesus. Who's singing to Jesus? What are they singing? For Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven. They're up there from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue under heaven. You know, history tells me that there's nations that have come and gone in this world even before the time of Christ. The Incas, the Mayans, they're extinct. But now, wait a minute. My Bible tells me there's some from every nation. Those boys back then, those boys and girls back then, that were Incas and Mayans, did they know Jesus' name?
No.
I don't believe they ever did. Would they have been better off if they had? Why, sure. Did that make any difference that they didn't?
No.
Can their not knowing Jesus keep them out if Jesus already put them in?
No.
What if they didn't believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?
No.
You reckon there's little Incan and Mayan boys up there?
Yeah.
And old hard-nosed Incan warriors that are up there that didn't act just right every day? I bet some of them's up there too. And I bet the same blood of Jesus that washed you has washed them. Because my Bible tells me they're up there from every nation, kindred, tribe, every family.
That's right.
From every family, there's somebody up there. There's families that the family name's been gone for centuries. There's families that live in places in this world that Christianity never got to. There's families that still live in places in this world that Christianity still has never gotten to. The best estimates that I can find, there's about 30% of the population of the world now that's heard the name of Jesus. What about the other 70? This man I've been listening to, he says they're not there. They can't get there unless we get to them first. You reckon Jesus needs my help to know where some uncharted island is, where somebody's living over there? You reckon I got to get there? Now, if I can get there, that'll be good. And I've gone halfway around the world, and your pastor's gone halfway around the world, and we've gone to places trying to preach Jesus. But we're not trying to get them into heaven. We're trying to let them know they're going to heaven.
Amen.
So they can have the same kind of peace you and me have, my friends. It's important to know. Christianity's important. And we're commanded to spread it all over this world, to take it to the uttermost parts of the world. And that's our mission in this church and in the church of Jesus Christ, is to take this thing to all the nations and to teach them about Jesus Christ and to turn them into followers of Jesus Christ and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and Jesus Christ, and then go on and teach them to observe all things that He commanded in this book, and to know He'll be with us till the end of the world in that mission.
Right.
Oh, that's important. But that doesn't get them to heaven.
That's right.
Jesus doesn't need me to do that. Jesus doesn't need you to do that. He's the way, the only way, the one way, the sole way, and the whole way. You remember?
Yeah.
I want to break tradition here a little bit. I'm still trying to preach the Word, but I've just got trouble with this guy. So I wrote down some quotes. I'm not going to tell you who he was, but I will tell you he's a renowned, internationally famous television evangelist. I almost did, but I'm not going to tell you what faith he is, but you'd be surprised. He's not some far-out cult. He's what most Southerners are these days. I will tell you who he quoted and condemned was Joel Osteen. Now, I'm not a fan of Joel Osteen, but he speaks of a man like him, a renowned evangelical Christian preacher who's so confused. And he goes to an interview that Larry King conducted of Joel Olson on television. And he quotes, I'm quoting him, the preacher that I listen to. King, well, what if you're Jewish or Muslim and you don't accept Christ at all? Olson, well, you know, I'm very careful about saying who would or wouldn't go to heaven? I don't know. I kind of agree with the man.
Yeah, I don't either.
King, well, if you believe you have to believe in Jesus, they're wrong, followers of other religions. Osteen, well, I don't know if I believe they're wrong. I believe this is what the Bible teaches, and from the Christian faith, this is what I believe. But I believe God will judge a person's heart. I spent a lot of time in India with my father. I don't know all about their religion, but I know they love God. And I don't know. I've seen their sincerity, so I just don't know. I know for me and what the Bible teaches, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I feel sorry for old Steen. Because his religion won't fit his observation.
Right.
He's observed characters over there in India who aren't worshiping Jesus. But he says he can see something in them that's love. He can see God's love in their heart. You think that's a possibility without them being Christian? Without them knowing the name of Jesus, they can have God's love in their heart?
Sure.
My mama is probably dying of cancer. She's got a doctor. And he's got a red dot in his forehead. And I think that signifies that he's not Christian. But the man's full of compassion. The man has kindness. The man deals with dying people in such a sweet and tender way. The man deals with the family of dying people in such a sweet and tender way. I think that man's got God in his heart.
Amen.
Well, how do you get in his heart if he's not serving Jesus? My friends, you don't have to serve Jesus to get God in your heart. You don't do anything to get God in your heart. God just moves in on His own.
Amen.
Is He big enough to do that?
Yes, sir.
Is that what the Bible says? The wind blows where it pleases?
That's right.
When God moves into a heart, is that heart the same as it was?
No.
Is it still an old hard heart that doesn't have compassion? No, it's a different kind of heart at that point. It's a kind of heart that can love somebody and have compassion on somebody that's dying. It's nice to have a religion that fits your observation. That you don't get like Osteen here, and somebody challenged him on the whole concept of Christianity, and it appears he's just fallen to pieces because he can't explain what he's seen happen. And he really says, I don't know, I don't understand, I don't see how it can be. With what I believe, I don't know how it can work this way. Kind of like the Josh over at the preacher's meeting a few months back, and he was talking about going to a funeral, and the guy preaching the funeral, and the guy that died was a good guy, apparently. I didn't know the preacher or the guy. And he says Josh said it was kind of like he wanted you to be in heaven, he just didn't know how to get him there.
That's right.
It seemed like he ought to be in heaven the way the guy lived and the way he acted and the way he treated people, but he couldn't figure out how to get him there. I preached a funeral for a buddy of mine who's been my buddy since school days. We were the same age and went through school together, and he died at terrible death of pancreatic cancer. And there were people that were going into him at the last and trying to get him to say the words. And I think he finally said the words. And there was such a relief in our community that Doug confessed Jesus. He's going to get there. Let me tell you what I know about the old boy. Now, he was crusty. He wasn't churchy. That just wasn't Doug. But I've got a little inside information. Because my wife works at a place that's a social place for kids that are poor. And that old boy would come every year and give a whole lot of money to that place. I preached his funeral without reservation. I think I know where Doug is. I don't know if he sincerely confessed or just to get this woman to quit talking to him or what happened at the last. I don't have to wonder those things, whether the confession was real or not.
Amen.
Because I could see a realness in the boy. That was different to most folks. I don't think there were a handful of people. His own sister didn't know he'd been given to that place for all those years when I told the story in the funeral. You know, my Bible tells me the fruit of the Spirit is, number one on the list is love.
That's right.
Number one on the list is love. I don't know if that's the most important. I guess something had to be first on the list. If I can see a man like the doctor who has the dot in his head, who has a love, or these folks that Osteen saw in India that had the love, but they may have been worshiping the sacred cow or something else. But he said, I could see something in them. I just don't know. I saw something in Doug, and I'm pretty sure that it'll fit my religion. Because I don't think it's my religion. I think it's Jesus' religion.
Right.
I think Jesus is the way, and I think Jesus did something in Doug's heart. And why he didn't ever come out publicly and start going to a church, and that just wasn't Doug. Now, shame on him for not doing that. He should have done it. And he'd have been a happier camper if he'd have done it.
Right.
But him not doing it doesn't condemn him to hell.
Amen.
And he didn't have to do it, and you and me don't have to do it to get to heaven. But we need to do it to serve Jesus.
Amen.
It's important
Amen.
To be a Christian now, remember.
That's right.
But that's not your ticket. You can get Jesus is the exclusive way to get to heaven. Christianity is just a bonus.
Right.
If you can believe in him down here and follow him down here, let's get back. All right, the preacher of the series. You remember we've just read about Osteen and his seemingly to be confused in his answer to King, and he didn't know how to answer the question. He'd seen something that didn't fit what he believed, so he's just trying to grab a little here and a little there. Now, he's just struggling. Now, here's what the preacher of the series said about that interview. I find it interesting that even a non-Christian like Larry King sees the inconsistency in saying that you believe Jesus is the way to salvation, but there may be other ways as well. That's inconsistent, according to the preacher of the series. You can't say Jesus is the way and then let some Indian in over there that doesn't believe in Jesus. You've got to be consistent. And he said, King even got sense enough to see that, and I've got sense enough to see that. What in the world's wrong with Osteen? That's what he's saying. Let's read on. You know, if the best answer a prominent evangelical mega church pastor can come up with when asked about other religions is, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I just don't know. Are we surprised that people in the pew don't have an answer to that question as well? You may be saying, well, so what? I mean, as long as I believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, what difference does it make if in fact there's other ways? Listen, here's what he says. What you believe about this issue of exclusivity of Christ for salvation, what you believe about this issue determines whether you spend eternity in heaven or in hell.
Wow.
What you believe is what makes the difference. Thomas didn't know the way, did he? I'm sure glad he figured out the way so he can get there now. That doesn't fit.
No.
It doesn't fit God's Word. It's disgracing to Jesus to add anything to Him being the salvation.
Right.
I'm out of time. I just got to do one more. I've got a few of these that I copied out. Print it off. Try to listen. Stop the recording and write down. I tried to quote it just the way the preacher preached it. The question is, are there many ways to get to heaven when you die? Or is there only one way to get to heaven? How do I get to heaven when I die? Well, that is what we're looking at in this series. 57% of Christians say there is more than one way to heaven other than faith in Jesus Christ. Now he says 57% of Christians don't have this straight like I do. Knowing Jesus is the way, is the way, is what he's saying. Believing Jesus is the way, is what he's saying. 57% of Christians think there might be some other way. What's he already said? We read a while ago. What you believe about this issue determines whether you spend eternity in heaven and hell. He said 57% of Christians are confused about it. So I guess he's just preached them in hell.
Yeah.
Unless you know that Jesus is the exclusive way, you're going to go to hell. He said 57% of Christians don't know that. Osteen wasn't sure about it. I guess he's a goner. You start pinning folks down, I bet it's more than 57%. When you start asking them questions about people who never had a chance because the gospel never got there, and most of them at that point, this guy wouldn't do that, but most of them at that point will say, well, there's an exception there. If you never had a chance, then it doesn't count for you. So if you take the gospel to a place like we've been commanded to do, and you go over there and preach it to them, what have you brought hell into their environment?
That's right.
You brought hell into the possibilities. If ignorance got you there, and you've told them truth, then anybody didn't follow your method just got fried. That's not good news, that's bad news.
That's bad.
57%. And now here's where I wanted to go with this one especially. Even some renowned Christian theologians believe that. There might possibly be some other way besides Jesus. But that's not what he's saying. I think this preacher that I'm quoting from, and I both agree, Jesus is the only way. Neither one of us think Muhammad's the way. But the difference is, this man thinks knowing Jesus is the way, and I just think it's the way Jesus said it. I am the way. without right. adding anything to it.
Amen.
So what he's talking about is if you don't know Jesus is the way, then you're not going to get there. For example, he says even some renowned theologians struggle with this thing. For example, even C.S. Lewis. I don't know if you know C.S. Lewis. I don't know him, but I'm looking forward to meeting him. Now, I want to see Jesus first and my dad. And there's some other folks who, somewhere down the line in eternity, surely I'll have a few minutes to spend with C.S. Lewis. He was a Christian masterpiece author. Anybody that can write something as complex and deep as Mere Christianity and as silly as it is, the Screwtape Letters, if it wasn't silly, if it wasn't so serious, you'd say it's silly. To write the children's series, The Chronicles of Narnia, and tell the same story in children's version that's in the Bible, he was a masterpiece. He could tell the story of Jesus in so many genres, in so many different ways of telling it, so that he could reach everybody some way, sure. I'll shut up about C.S. Lewis. I'm not worshiping him. I'm just pretty convinced he was pretty solid in being a Christian. Now, I've read a lot of his stuff, and I don't at all agree with everything he says.
Right.
But I sure like what he says in a lot of places. Even C.S. Lewis, whom we all read, believed that heaven will include people who have never heard of or trusted in faith in Jesus Christ. You caught it. What's he trusting in, this preacher I'm reading from? Is he trusting in Jesus? That's not what he said right there. Was that a slip of the tongue? No. He says it pretty regular. He's not trusting in Jesus. He's trusting in faith in Jesus.
Right.
Faith is his Savior, not Jesus.
Right.
Faith is what's going to get you there. What you do and what you believe and what you say and what you think is what's going to get you there. That's not what Jesus said.
Right.
Jesus didn't say knowing the way is the way. Jesus said I am the way. Jesus didn't say believing that I'm the way is the way. Jesus just said I am the way. This guy is trusting in faith in Jesus. And C.S. Lewis, of all things, could have thought somebody could get there who never trusted in faith in Jesus. I think there's going to be a lot of people there who never in this world trusted in faith in Jesus.
Right.
I think there's a lot of people in this world had faith. But they didn't know the name. You ever know folks like that? I'll tell you somebody like that. The Ethiopian eunuch fell into that category.
Yep.
He'd been to Jerusalem to worship. Something was in his heart looking for a God. He's going back home. He's reading the Bible. Of all places, Isaiah 53. That's a good place to read, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you want to know about Jesus. But now the name's not in Isaiah 53. It's just some things about him. About him being your substitute and taking your punishment and giving you his justification, his righteousness, and all those glorious things. And this eunuch's reading in Isaiah 53, and he's been to worship, and I guess he's coming home and he's still trying to worship, and he seems to be a pretty devout man to me. Sort of like Cornelius in chapter 10, but I don't have time to go into all of it.
Right, right.
He's a devout man before anybody gets to him with any message of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's giving alms. I'm sorry, mixing up my stories here so much, nobody's going to stay straight. Let's stay on the eunuch. He's been to Jerusalem to worship. He's heading back home reading his Bible. And Philip, by the Spirit of God, is told to go join up with that chariot.
Right.
And he catches up with the chariot. And he gets on board that chariot. And he says to that eunuch, "Do you understand what you're reading, man?"
Right.
And what do you answer? "How can I? Except some man guide me. I don't know who I'm reading about. I don't know his name. I don't know whether Isaiah is talking about himself or somebody else." Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Well, it said that Philip went there and preached to him
Jesus. That's right.
That's who it is? That's who it's talking about? Yeah, that's who it's talking about. Well, tell me again what he did. Well, he preached to him right there. I guess he told him, well, man, he took your place on that cross. He probably described that old rugged cross and Jesus hanging on it for him and taking his place and covering him with righteousness. With the blood of Jesus, you've been washed clean, man. That's who he's talking about. He took your punishments that God would have given to you and Jesus took that for you. And because of that, you're going to heaven. You know what that old boy said? He said, "What would keep me from getting baptized?"
That's right.
He said, "Well, Do you believe in Jesus? Uh-oh, now here's where he got to go to heaven, wasn't he?
No.
He's already on his way. His ticket's been punched way back when he started worship. Sometime a long time ago, before we even know about the man. Something happened under a fig tree to one old boy there, Nathaniel, I think it was, that Jesus knew about, Nathaniel knew about it, but nobody else knew about it. And here this guy says, what would hinder me? Well, do you believe in Jesus? I believe in him with all my heart. And they both went down in the water and he baptized him. My goodness. Isn't that glorious?
Amen.
I think he was already going before he knew his name. Was he better off to know his name? Of course he was.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Preach Jesus and him crucified. And you'll give God's people peace and rest and assurance and comfort and all those great things to have. But that isn't what gets them to heaven. For example, even C.S. Lewis, whom we all read, believed that heaven will include people who have never heard of or trusted in faith in Christ. He wrote, here's what C.S. Lewis wrote, he says, I think that every prayer that is sincerely made, even to a false God, or to a very imperfectly conceived true God. That's the best prayer any of us can make, my friends, is to a God we don't really understand, that we poorly perceive Him as to who He really is, but we pray to Him, don't we? We know His name. His name is Jesus, but we still don't know a lot about Him, do we? We can't understand Him, how He is, and what He's done. It's all way over our heads somewhere, but we still pray to Him, don't we? Old Lewis says, I believe that even those that pray to a false God or to a very imperfectly perceived true God is accepted. Those prayers are accepted by the true God. And that Christ saves many who do not think that they know Him. I can get along with C.S. Lewis. That's what I say. I like him.
Yeah.
You know, you read C.S. Lewis very far and you're going to figure out that he needed to be around an old Baptist for a little while. Not that old Baptists are special. But he said things like this, that he believed, but he couldn't explain.
Right.
He couldn't explain. He couldn't make it fit. It wouldn't fit into the modern world's Christianity.
Right.
But it'll fit into the ancient Christianity from Jesus' day.
Right.
If you'll just take what Jesus said with what Jesus said and don't start adding to it. When he says, I am the way, we'll just take it from there and start building upon that mighty truth. Then all these things will fit in.
Yes.
We can understand how somebody wouldn't know His name and even be worshiping a false God. But when they pray, God would hear those prayers if they're already one of God's children. Though they don't know His name, that's not good and that's not as honoring to God as they should be in this world. But if they've lived in a situation where they've never heard of Him or had no way of hearing of Him, if God's found them and they're praying, God hears those prayers.
Right.
God hears those prayers, says Lewis. Now, back to the fellow that was the sermon preacher. Now, if a renowned theologian can get it wrong... Oh my. If a renowned theologian can get it wrong, do we need to rethink this issue about the exclusivity of Christ? He keeps talking about the exclusivity of Christ, but then he keeps talking about faith in Christ is the answer. That's not exclusivity in Christ. That's adding something to Him, is it not?
Right.
If this issue about exclusivity of Christ, are we being too narrow when we insist that there is only one way to God through faith in Jesus Christ, he says.
Wow.
Talking about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ in one sentence, in the very next sentence, he adds a word. Adds a word that changes everything as far as giving Christ the glory. I'm sorry I've taken too long. Forgive me for that. We stand alone, as far as I know. A handful. A handful in a few places around this great big world that truly believe in the exclusiveness of Christ as Savior, even beyond Him needing His church or His Christianity or His preachers, or His people to help Him.
Right.
Christ is the Savior. Now His church and his Christianity and his preachers and his people need to magnify him.
Yes.
But Amen. Not take something away from him instead of adding glory to him.
Right.
May God bless you. Thank you for your good attention. I mean that.
Amen. Bless you.
Amen.